Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for being here at our church. We thank you that the presence of the Holy Spirit is very obvious. Father, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room. There's no way one mortal person could reach all their needs. But the Holy Spirit, through the man of God, could touch every heart. Holy Spirit, may we be yielded to you as your man preaches, that we would listen, that we would apply, so that we could go out and use it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The sermon title this morning is taken directly from the scripture. When I read the scripture and I found this statement, this in the Bible, I was just amazed. I'll reveal to you the title as the sermon progresses. I will ask that we do this now. We've had a lot of motion in and out of the auditorium, and so we now all need to settle ourselves now. Everybody concentrate on what's about to be said, though maybe not you. Somebody today, somebody's life will be challenged and changed forever because of this sermon. Maybe it's not you, but I'll promise you, somebody drugged themselves in here this morning. They're at their wits' end. They're at the end of their rope. They just don't know what to do. They don't know how they're going to go on. They came today desperate for the touch of God upon their life. We all need to respect the sermon as such. We all need to make sure that those people are not frustrated or not annoyed by us or our behavior during the sermon. If for no other reason, do it for somebody else and not for yourself. Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, was sick. He lived in a place called Bethany. He was sick enough that he would die. Lazarus had sisters named Mary and Martha. Jesus was not with them at the time. The sisters, though, send word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick and his sickness was unto death. Jesus did not come to them immediately. He waited a few days and then he started his journey toward the city of Bethany. Sadly, I think, Lazarus dies. Jesus then arrives in town. The Bible tells us in verse 16 there of John chapter 11 that Thomas, one of the disciples, he was so broken up about the death of Lazarus, he said, I'll die with him. I'm so brokenhearted, I just want to go ahead and die with him. That's how Lazarus' death began to affect everybody. People started coming to the family, Mary and Martha, and started comforting them and saying, oh, we're so sorry. They started the grieving process, and they got word out, but, you know, start the prayer chain. Brother Lazarus has passed away, and pray for Mary and pray for Martha and pray for his friends. And they planned the viewing and had it, and they planned the funeral and had it. Now, you understand, they got him buried. Jesus is now heading into town. The Bible says that Martha went out to meet Jesus when he came to town. It says in verse number 21, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Later then, Mary goes to Jesus. And she says in verse number 32 to Jesus, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." Now, Jesus, he was on his way into town. Lazarus had already died. Martha goes out to meet him and kind of tells him, "Had you been here, maybe my brother wouldn't have died." Mary goes out to see him, said, "Had you been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Now Jesus has walked into a situation. Someone has passed away. They've already had the funeral. The town's weeping. Mary's weeping. Martha's weeping. The friends are weeping. And the Bible says in verse number 33, as a result of all this and the way they approached him, the Bible says that Jesus groaned in his spirit. The Bible says in that very same verse that Jesus was troubled about all of this. And then in verse number 35, the smallest verse in the entire Bible, the Bible says as a result of all of this, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Now the people grieving, they also go to Jesus and they say, "Had you been here, you could have prevented this death." So Mary said you could have prevented it. Martha said you could have prevented it. Now some others in verse number 37 say, "And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" And in verse 38, Jesus again groans within himself. Jesus then goes to the tomb where his friend Lazarus has been buried. Bible says Lazarus at this point now has been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus says to them, "Roll away the stone from that tomb," saying, "Open the door of that tomb." Someone said, "Oh no, we open that door up. This man has been dead for 4 days." And they said, his body has begun to putrefy. It's going to smell bad. He's dead. It'll stink of death." And finally, they obeyed him and they rolled open that door. Then Jesus speaks to God. Remember, everybody's gathered around. Jesus speaks. He says in verse 41, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Verse 42, "And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." In verse 44, the Bible tells us that Lazarus, who had been dead, he gets up out of that grave, if you will. He gets up off of the little couch that would have been built in his tomb, and he comes back from the dead. Lazarus was risen. All the lost spectators there, can you imagine? There were people there that they just came by to see what was happening. They didn't know Jesus as Savior. They didn't know anything about the Lord. All of them, the Bible says, they were amazed. And the soul winners that were there went to work right away and got a bunch of people saved because of it. I'll tell you this. If somebody were dead and I watched them get up out of the grave and I never trusted Jesus, I'd be trusting Jesus right then and there. I'd say, "This guy's got the goods. I think I'll trust him." But I want to point out something that's amazing about this whole story. Remember, everybody's devastated. Everybody, a lot of people love Lazarus to the point that Thomas said, "When I heard my buddy was dead, I'd like to be dead with him." Mary's weeping. Martha's weeping. The crowd is weeping. Jesus has groaned within himself twice. Jesus begins to weep. But listen to some wording that is very unique here. In John 11:14, it says, Then said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And in verse 15, he makes a remarkable statement. Jesus says, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake." Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake. That's the title of my sermon this morning. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. That's what Jesus said. These people were weeping. They were brokenhearted. They were devastated. And Jesus said, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake." He said, "I'm glad for your sake I wasn't here." What? Yeah, Lazarus is dead, And I am glad for your sake that I wasn't here to take care of it. Let me ask you a question. Do you suffer from a broken heart? Do you face a heavy burden in your life? Maybe you're like Mary and Martha, and for the last couple of days, just as they did, maybe you are crying yourself to sleep at night over your burden. Did you know that God has a way of getting something good to come out of what seems to be bad and some bad event in our life? Can you imagine Jesus having the audacity to say to all these mourning people, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not here"? How could he do that? How could he say that? I'm looking back at Brother John Kidwell, got a smile from ear to ear on his face. He works at Brown's Funeral Home. This is not customary way of comforting the mourning. He's dead and I'm glad. Nobody could get away with that but Jesus.
Right.
He wrote it. This is his word.
Right.
That's what he said to them. Let me see if I could help you a little this morning. Is it possible that God could say to you, you face, put your burden in the slot, you're facing whatever it is, and God could look down and say, and I'm glad for your sake? Is it possible that whatever the burden is that you're facing right now, God could look down and say to you, I'm glad for your sake that you're facing, you fill in the blank. What is it that you're facing that could be put in the blank spot of that sentence or statement? Now, I'll tell you something, folks. You and I, we're not to look at each other and say, you've got a burden and I'm glad. You're not to look at me and say, you've got a burden and I'm glad. But I can tell you this, the God of the universe has the right to look at Mary and look at Martha and say, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad for your sake.
Yes, sir.
Say, why? He's God. Never lose track of who he is.
Amen.
He's not one of many gods. He's the God.
Amen.
I called the sermon this morning, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Stay with me, if you will. Let me say, number one, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake. Hear that? For your sake. He said in John 11, 15, and I am glad for your sake that I was not here to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Notice those words, for your sake. Folks, let me tell you something. God always does what's best. God is not to be on trial in our lives. God always does what's right. God always does what's best. God always does the thing that is the right thing to do. You never have to debate it. You never have to wonder about it. God's good. All the time. God's right all the time. God's holy all the time. God's perfect all the time. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake. You see, God always does what's best. God is perfect and God is holy. God always does what's best for me. Now, Jeff Owens doesn't always do what's best for God, but God always does what's best for Jeff Owens. And just so you know, God always does what's best for you. Always God does what's best. God does what's best for me. God does what's best for you. And when Jesus came along and he said, Lazarus is dead and I am glad for your sake, he was saying, don't you worry. God always does what's best for you. I wouldn't debate it. I wouldn't give it a second thought. Don't get mad at God if you have a burden in your life. God always does what's best for us. Now, we don't always do what's best for us. We don't always do what's best for each other. We don't always do what's best for God. But God's not like us. God always does what's best. You know, even our burdens could be for our sake. God loves us and allows only those things to come upon us that are best for us. Mrs. Bajan's here this morning, and we all know our dear beloved brother Bajan is fighting for his life with this cancer and had his radiation treatments. And Mrs. Bajan, don't lose track of the fact God loves you, Mrs. Bajan. And you and I might not be able to figure it all out, but God always does what's best. We've got a good God. We've got a loving God. We've got a tender God. We've got a compassionate God. And you and I might look at this and we might look at it and say, good night in the morning, Jesus. How could you go to grieving people and say, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad for your sake that I didn't take care of it? Because God knows best. You know, some of us, we need to put as much faith in our God as we expect our children to put in us. How many times have you looked at a little one and said, Mom knows what's best here. Daddy knows what's best here. And we'll go to our own children knowing that we have more experience in life, knowing that we have a wisdom and a knowledge that is superior to a child, and will assure them and comfort them and virtually demand of them that they trust us. Well, my dear friend, if you and I can say to our own children, Mama knows best or Daddy knows best, don't you think so much the more God can come along and say, I know what's best. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Hey, as this story about Lazarus goes on, his death created an amazing life-changing event that turned everything around for everybody involved. At first, when you glance at it and you say, Jesus says, Lazarus is dead and I am glad, you say, whoa, what a statement. Well, if you just give the story a little bit of time on the other end, it comes out in an amazing way. And I guess Jesus was right, wasn't it? And some of you are going to find out God knows what's best. And in what you're going through right now, at the beginning of the burden, you begin to ask yourself, does God know what's best? But I've been through enough burdens. I've been on the caboose of many burdens, and I'm looking at it and saying, you know what? He knew what he was doing all along. We may doubt him at the inception, but you better make sure at the conclusion you've got your eyes on a holy and a good God. And you say, you know what? I see it. I see it. God knew what was best. God always knows what's best. Please believe that your burden could be for your sake. I was thinking the Shiflett family, what, you know, a name that'll go down in history here at our church. Bernice, been in and out of the hospital recently and had a rough time. Ronnie Shiflett, one of our good men, a bus captain yesterday, working with a table saw, and cut himself terribly. And they started him here local at a hospital and took him to Baltimore, probably in surgery as we speak. Let me say, the Shiflett family, God knows best.
Yes, sir.
For your sake, Jesus said. Please believe, folks, that the burden could be for your sake. God does what he does for the sake of good always. Has a hard time possibly ended your life? Is it possible that you're facing a burden and God has allowed that burden for some reason? For your sake. Don't miss it now. For your sake, Jesus said, this burden has come upon you. Secondly, I see that Lazarus is dead and I am glad because I will come to you in a special way because of it. I will come to you in a special way. John 11:15, it says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. You know what happened? A tragedy came and Jesus said, I'm coming. I'm coming to you. Note, he said, let us go to him. Why in the world do you need to go to somebody that's no longer alive? Jesus said, I'm coming in a very special way, and for a very special reason, I'm going to come to you because you're facing this burden. Jesus is saying, you're facing a tragedy, but I am coming to you because of it. Listen, folks, Jesus will come to you in your times of deep heartache. Jesus knows your heavy heart, and he will come to your aid. You remember the story in the Bible when the disciples were on a ship and during the fourth watch of the night, a storm hit? Here's what happened. They came to a big body of water. I can't remember what it was. It might have been the Sea of Tiberias, but I don't remember. Jesus had actually sent his disciples onto that sea in a ship. He told them, I'll see you on the other side. Now, tell me something. Does Jesus know if a storm is about to come? Absolutely, he does. He's better than the Weather Channel.
Amen.
Jesus knew he was sending his disciples out onto an ocean or a sea, and there would be a storm. You might think, yeah, that's why he didn't get on the boat. Now, he knew what he was doing. He knew a storm was forthcoming. And he said, I'll meet you on the other side. He knew that storm would hit. And it hit. And when it did, he came walking on the water to them, and he stills a storm. Now, you tell me something. Did he send them into the storm? Yes or no? Yes. Why? Because he said, I want to come to you. I want to come to you.
Yes, sir.
You're going to face a storm. And for some reason, that storm's going to be good for you. When you get in the midst of that storm, I'm coming.
Yes.
I'm coming. I'll be there. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll show up. You'll be glad to see me when I come. Jesus enjoys coming to you and I in the midst of the storm. Remember, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus says, let's go to him. They said, why? Why? He stinks. Why go to him? And Jesus said, because when people are hurting in a special way, I show up in a special way to help them in a special way. Now, do you know something? If those people had insisted, you get away from me, like some of you do. The storm comes and you say, I blame you for this storm. Get away from me, God. Had they blamed Jesus, pushed him away, he would have never gotten to the grave to do what he did and to do the miracle that he had planned on doing all along. You might want to be careful pushing him away because you have a burden in your life, maybe that is self-inflicted, I might add, but you might be facing a burden, but Jesus might have brought the burden into your life so he could come to you in a special way and do something in your life. Please remember, Jesus went to the country. You remember the story of the maniac of Gadara? Jesus goes to the country of a place called the country of the Gadarenes. There's a man there. He was a wild, nasty, vile, wicked man. Jesus goes to that man and changes his life. What was it? Jesus sought him out. Jesus is the one that went to Lazarus. Jesus is the one that went to the maniac of Gadara. Not only that, there's a story about a man who is, there was a pool called the pool of Bethesda. There's a man that was crippled. He had laid at that pool for 38 years. In a conversation, what would happen at the pool is the troubling of the water would come, and the first person that got into that water, they would be healed of whatever their infirmity. Well, there's a crippled man there that's been sitting there for 38 years, and he somebody said to him, you've been here 38 years. He said, why? Well, I'm crippled. When the water stirs, nobody comes to help me get to the water. So the people that can walk or crawl well, they're the first in the water. They're the first to be healed. Jesus comes along. Jesus comes to that man and heals him. You see, there's something you need to remember. If you are facing a burden, it will cause Jesus to come to you.
Yes.
Come to you. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad. Why? Jesus is saying, Lazarus is dead. I knew he would die. And I also knew I was coming.
Amen.
I was coming. In your burden, Jesus comes to you in a special way. If I were you, if you're facing a burden right now, I'd be looking for Jesus.
Amen.
Are you looking for Jesus?
Good.
Are you expecting Jesus? Hey, maybe you sat here this morning and say, I found him.
Amen.
This sermon, I've been blinded. I was almost mad at God. Now I realize maybe Jesus showed up at church today. Maybe Jesus showed up as we took a nugget of gold out of the scripture and we had examined it where Jesus said to Mary and Martha, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake because I've got something for you. Something special's going to happen. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to your aid. Look for him. Expect him. Hey, listen, folks, Jesus won't stand you up. He'll come. If he won't miss you. You listen, but be careful that you don't miss him in your burden. Don't miss him. I think you'll like this. Little Tim was in the garden filling in a hole when his neighbor peered over the fence. Interested in what this red-faced youngster was up to, he politely asked, "What are you up to, little Tim?" "My goldfish died," replied Tim tearfully, without even looking up, "and I just had to bury my goldfish." The neighbor was very, very concerned. That's an awfully big hole for a goldfish, isn't it, Timmy? Tim patted down the last heap of earth and replied, "That's because he's inside your stupid cat." When I was reading in the Bible, it's my privilege and my honor and responsibility when people lose someone that they love. I spend time with them and I try to comfort them. I try to love on them and I remind them of the reality of heaven and remind them that heaven's a wonderful place. And I remind them that in heaven there's no more pain and no more sorrow and no more sickness and no more dying. When I got to reading the story, I have to tell you folks, I got to reading the story of Lazarus and his passing. And my pastoral desire went into process. And I'm thinking, how would I comfort Mary and how would I comfort Martha? I kept reading and all of a sudden I see Jesus come on the scene and he says to him, "Lazarus is dead," and I'm glad. And I'm thinking, "Lord, they never trained me to do it that way. I never seen it that way." But I am telling you, God can come to you and I, and whatever we face, God may be saying, "I don't know what you're." God could say, "What you're facing, I'm glad, because God has a purpose. God knows what He's doing." I said this. I said, number one, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake. Secondly, I said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad because I will come to you in a special way, as Jesus did to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Number three, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad because you'll get to see the heart of God better because of this. You'll get to see the heart of God better because of the heartache that you face. Listen, John 11:33, it says, "And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." You understand, because of the burden that Mary and Martha faced, the Bible says that they heard Jesus groan over their heartache. Can you imagine? He who runs the entire universe, the owner of all things, the creator of all things, would take a moment to spend with someone lowly man. And because one woman shed a tear, the God of the universe groaned in pain with her. Wow. The Bible says it troubled him. It affected him emotionally. Jesus was moved at her weeping. Look, folks, no burden, no chance to see the great heart of God, the great love of God, the great compassion of God. And it actually goes on to tell us in verse number 35 that Jesus wept. Can you imagine? Jesus was the walking word of God. Jesus was God come in the flesh. This was God weeping because somebody else was weeping. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Somebody watched God weep. Why? Because their heart was broken. Doesn't that comfort you? I'll tell you what, that comforts me. When I'm down here and I think of my burdens and my heartaches and all the heaviness that might be upon me, the thought that God could be in heaven shedding a tear and saying, "I care about you, Jeff Owens. I know your heart is broken." God's not busy running the universe to the point that he does not see your tears. He sees them. In verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and the stone lay upon him. Here Jesus groans a second time. Why? God groans for the hurting of men. I think God sometimes allows our heartaches so he can come to us and unveil his great love for us. When Jesus wept, the Jews said, and this is in the scripture, those that were watching, they watched Jesus cry. And you know what the people watching said? "Behold, how he loves him." Wow. Wow. I don't believe that Jesus wept because Lazarus was dead. I don't think that. Why? Again, Jesus sent those men into the storm. Did he know the storm was coming? Yes, he did. Jesus showed up at the grave of Lazarus. Do you not think that Jesus knew what he was about to do? What was Jesus about to do with Lazarus? Get him up out of the grave. Was Jesus weeping over the death of Lazarus? No, he was weeping over the brokenhearted people that love Lazarus. He didn't weep because of Lazarus. Lazarus is coming back, and he knew it. Jesus wept for the sake of Mary. Jesus wept for the sake of Martha. He wanted to show them his great love for them. It would draw their hearts closer so they could better see his love and his heart that he had for them. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Listen, folks, God cares about you. I wonder sometimes if God does not allow certain burdens to come into our life so that he can come along and show that compassion and show that love, and in a tender way, let us see his great love. If we had no heartaches, how could God express his love in a unique and special way? Yes, see, we need his love. We need him to express his love. Jesus weeps and groans with us as he helps us to bear our heartaches. Jesus said, "Lazarus is dead and I am glad." You say, "How so?" Because God said, "This gives me a chance to love on you in a special way. I want to love on you in a unique way. I want to love on you in a way that you wouldn't normally experience." My friends, the McClurg family, sit down here today. We know the story. In addition to all the other things they face in the rugged territory in which they live, their son Michael, not many weeks before Christmas, passed away. He was facing what they thought was flu or pneumonia type symptoms. They took him to the hospital. Got him to the hospital and they said, "Well, your lungs are filling with fluids and we're gonna drain your lungs." And they put him under an anesthetic and they were trying to care for it. And he went into cardiac arrest. They opened him up. They tried to massage the heart and keep him going. But he went to heaven that day. Later to find out that his body had symptoms and evidence of cancer in his body. Oh my, what a heartache. What a loss. What a burden. But let me say to you, Brother and Mrs. McClurg, in the loss of a child, God can come to you and he can love on you like never before. And may I say, had they not gone through what they had gone through, we wouldn't have had the chance for us to love on them like we've had the chance. You see, in the midst of heartache, love, the jar that God keeps his love in, he reaches up and unscrews the lid and said, "I'm just going to start pouring this out everywhere I can." God has a way of loving us, very special. You know something? That could, if you would allow it, that could almost make your burden. You say, "Okay, Lord, it's bearable to know that I get extra love out of this." Hey, God will be able to love on you in a special way because of a burden that you have faced. I say this. I say, when Jesus says, "Lazarus is dead and I am glad," that did not calculate in my mind at first. But now I see what God means. He puts those words in there, "Lazarus is dead and I'm glad for your sake." He said, "Lazarus is dead and now I get to come to you in a very special and unique way. Lazarus is dead and I'm glad because you'll get to see my heart and I'll be able to love on you in a way that I could have never loved on you." Folks, I wish everybody here that have faced special burdens and heartaches and devastating events, I hope that you'll open your eyes and go ahead and receive the love of God and that special attention that God wants to shower upon you. But not only that, Lazarus is dead and I am glad because now I get to show you firsthand the power of my word. The power of my word. In John 11:43, in the midst of this story, it says, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried," meaning Jesus, "he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Understanding Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days and they rolled away the tomb, rolled away the stone of that tomb. And when he did, Jesus raises his hands toward the sky. He begins to pray. Anything Jesus said was the word of God. Yes, and he began to speak. And he said those words, "Lazarus, come forth. It's printed in the never-dying Word of God. It's right here in your King James Bible. Just look at it. It's right there. Lazarus, come forth. You know something? Had they never gone through the burden, he would have never said those words. Having never said those words, we'd never see the power of God in his Word. What he spoke was Bible. His Word, hey, listen, folks, his Word can be your comfort in the time of heartache. God's Word is powerful. It is the greatest need in your life. If a burden comes, that strength that your family needs will come from the Word of God. Did you know that burdens will cause the Word of God to come alive in your life? And you may start claiming the Word of God for the first time in your life as your power and your strength. Which would mean this: your burden did you a big old favor. If your burden drives you to the Word of God and start claiming the Word of God to change and to do something, your burden has done you a big favor, because your burden has gotten you to the Word of God, which is the most powerful force that we have.
Yes.
Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad, because this event will strengthen your faith in my Word. This event will force you to go to my Word. This event will remind you that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's printed in my Word. This event is going to cause you to realize I love you and I'm there for you, and you need to have faith in my Word. I can see why Jesus would say Lazarus is dead and I am glad, because as a result of it, everybody there watched the power of the Word of God do something miraculous. Let God's Word turn your heartache into his glory. Let God's Word turn your burden into a blessing. Broken heart somehow makes it easier for the seed of the Word of God to be planted in our hearts and grow. You know, sometimes if your heart was like soil, and if it were dry and brittle and hard, you throw a seed on old, dry, brittle, hard ground, it doesn't take root, doesn't grow. But you break up that, as the Bible calls it, fallow ground. You break it up, then you plant the seed in it, then the seed can bring forth wonderful, wonderful fruit. And your heart, if your heart's hard and cold, it may be that God comes along and there, when the heart is broken, that ground of the heart is broken up and God comes by, he starts planting seed in a broken heart. Suddenly, the Word of God takes root in your life, and suddenly God begins to change your life in a miraculous way. You see, had there been no death of Lazarus, we would not see the power of the Word of God. Let God's Word turn your heartache into a great thing. If there were no tears in this story, there would have been no Lazarus come forth. The tears brought the tremendous testimony. Our burdens can reveal to us the great power of the Word of God. If there were no groanings, would we have ever heard those words, Lazarus, come forth? Hard times push us to the Word of God. Burdens can strengthen our understanding of his Word. I think of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had an eye problem. Some of you have read about it in the New Testament, not realizing it. Paul would talk about his eye problems. He would talk about, he said, notice how large a letter I write unto you. Paul was not talking about the length of the letter he was writing. He was talking about the height of the words that he was writing. Paul wrote very large because Paul did not see well. Paul had this problem. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul that probably was used to pen 13, maybe 14 books of the New Testament. He had this eye problem, and maybe like a glaucoma. I believe Paul might have had, maybe even struggled with some epilepsy if you studied history. But Paul had this problem. The Bible says Paul went to God three times. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul went to God on three occasions, and the great Apostle Paul said, God, I want you to take this away from me. I've got a thorn in my flesh. I don't see well. He went once and God didn't do anything. Paul went a second time and asked God to take away this burden of the eye problem, and God didn't take it away. He went a third time. Paul said, God, please take this away. And God said no. And I suppose in Paul's heart he said, why not? And God said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, I'm not taking the burden away. I'm giving you my grace. It'll make up the difference. Let me tell you something. Both you and I and anybody that's been in Christianity any length of time at all have claimed that verse or had to tell somebody that verse. You're just going to have to let his grace be sufficient for you. Let me tell you, there would have been no way you and I would have ended up with the verse, his grace is sufficient for thee, from 2 Corinthians 12:9, unless Paul had gone through a burden. And sometimes we just are going to have to say, okay, I face this burden and God's grace is sufficient for me. Stay with me, I'm almost finished. Let me say this, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad for the glory of God. For the glory of God. In John 11:40, it says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Here Jesus is answering about this situation with Lazarus dying. And he says, get ready. Lazarus is dead. I'm glad. Why? I'm about to get God glorified in this whole thing. If you search for a reason for your heartache and you can't find one, then just accept it's for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. God sometimes does something for his glory and we don't understand it. Folks, I have to tell you, you don't have to understand God. You have to trust him. Say, I don't understand. Well, welcome to the club. But I'm glad I've got a God that is so big that I can't understand him. That's what trust is all about. That's what faith is all about. You say, I'm at my wit's end. It does not make sense to me. I don't know why this burden came upon me. I don't understand it. Okay, then just turn to God and say, God, it must be for your glory. I'll go through this with dignity. I trust you, God. I trust you. Remember, see, your life is not all about you. Your life is all about him. You see, when we get all upset with God, what he did is he disrupted your life and what you want. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Trust God. Boy, there are things that have come to me and I said, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. And God looks back and said, I never made a deal with you that everything I do has to make sense. Jeff, you just keep your eyes on me. You trust me. I have everything under control, says God. We just got to believe the one. You say, I can't see it. You don't have to see it. All you have to do is see the one who does see it. Yes. It's all you have to do. Let God be God. And let God get glory from our burdens. We don't always have to understand, but we should always trust. I really don't think that Job understood the loss that he suffered in his life. That's right. But he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm sure Job stayed awake at night, scratched his head, cried, said, this didn't make a lick of sense to me. But in the end, he said, whatever, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Somebody here, you may just need to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It'll help you. That's going to increase your spirit. It's going to get you on the winning side. It's going to get some victory going in your life. Lazarus is dead, he said, and I am glad. And at first, I'll tell you, I was offended with the thought of comforting somebody that way. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake. I'm not here to take care of it. But now I see. Now I see why Jesus would have made that statement. And I'm done, but listen to this. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad because somebody needs to get saved as a result of it. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad because somebody needs to be saved as a result of it. In John 11:45, it says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. This whole process, Lazarus gets out of the grave and all the Jews that were lost said, let's get saved. The lost were found because of Mary, Martha, and the burden that they went through with Lazarus. In John 11:47-48, get this, it even intensifies more. It's not just that somebody got saved. Listen to the power in this verse. John 11:47-48 says, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? Do you understand the people that were the government of the city? They all got together over this whole incident and said, we got to have a meeting. Over what?
Well, this guy that was dead that's now alive. Why? We have to have a meeting over this? Yeah, get the town council together quick. Call everybody in here. Get the mayor. Get the judge. Get the chief of police. Get him in here. So then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Said, you know what? These Christians that behave the way they do about their burdens, if we're not careful, they'll have the whole world convinced their God is the right God. They'll take this whole mess over. Our job is in jeopardy. Not only will there be people saved, but the power of the gospel will spread. Folks, I believe this. I believe through pain and heartache, the gospel has been spread around the world. God seems to use broken hearts in a powerful way. If not, you just look at the ones that God used in the Bible. I was thinking of Brother Ralph Malat. Stands back here and greets and laughs and works like a greeter at this door back here. He's a guy that takes our bus count out here. But I'll never forget what brought Ralph back to God. It was the death of his mother. I did the funeral for that dear sweet lady here in this auditorium. Following Sunday, Ralph, same beard, same smile. He walked right down this aisle, came down here and got right with God. What was it? She was dead. God was glad. She went to heaven. But it brought a boy back to God. Hey, soul winner. I'd recommend something. You facing a burden, go get somebody saved because of it. Is it possible that's why the burden has come? Has a burden come that somebody else might be saved? Brother Mrs. McClurg, Brother Aaron Chris teaches our 12th grade Sunday school class, 12th grade boys here at our church. Brother Chris the other day said, preacher, I'm going to talk to all my boys in my class. We're going to go out and we're all going to do some soul winning. When we go, we're going to dedicate the time of soul winning to Michael McClurg. Actually, when we go out, we're going to approach people and tell them about Michael and how he passed, and they need to be ready for heaven. I forget how many, up near 10, 12 people were saved from that one class of 12th grade boys that went soul winning for Michael's sake. I can't say it. It's not my place. God could, though, Brother McClurg, Mrs. McClurg, God could say, Michael's in heaven. I'm glad. Because something great, greater than us, is stirring. Do you trust God that much? Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not here to attend to it. And then the story unfolds. If you're not saved here today, you ought to get born again. You. I believe God brought you here this day to hear this sermon for this very reason. Get saved today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Here's the question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, preacher, I'm not sure of that. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Then you ought to get saved. You've heard the story. You've seen the testimony. You ought to get saved. I'm not asking you if you're a church member. I'm not asking you if you got baptized or you gave some money. I'm asking you that if you died today, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven. Now, you can only be sure of that if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're not born again, we're going to have an altar call. In a moment, we're all going to stand. In a moment, the choir is going to sing. In a moment, the men that are sitting on this platform, they will step down off the platform and post themselves at the front on the lower level at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, you just leave your seat. You walk into down the aisle of this auditorium, walk up to one of the men, say, I want to be born again. We have trained, capable soul winners, people that know the Bible. They'll show you how to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. You may have come into this building not for sure on your way to heaven. You can walk out of this building on your way to heaven for sure. Who here today would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. I want to go to heaven, but I need to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I see another hand. I see another hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. I see another hand. Who else? You say, that's me. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I would. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. That's what I need. That's why God brought me here today. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? You've not already raised your hand, but you'll raise your hand now. You say, that's me. God bless you. Those of you that raised your hand, and if you should have and you did not, when we have this altar call, I want you just to leave your seat, walk toward the front. You won't be the only one coming. Walk up to one of these men and tell them, I want to be saved. Men working the altar, you be watching. You become familiar with the people so that when they come, you'll know, you'll see. But you walk up to the man, you walk up to the altar worker, person that needs to be saved, and you say to them, I want to be saved. We're going to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But wait a minute. Who out there would say, Brother Owens, I face a burden today, a heartache? Maybe somebody knows about it, and so maybe somebody does not, but you say, I face a burden. But God today in this sermon has come to my aid. He's given me something I needed. God has spoken to my heart today in this sermon about Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. There are hands everywhere. God bless you. Hands all over the place. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you in the balcony. Probably 100 hands, 100 people or more. Let me tell you, those of you that just raised your hand, if when we give this altar call you need, you leave your seat, walk down the front, get on your knees at this altar and you talk to God for a minute. Maybe you need to go to God and say, God, I want the power of your word in my life. Maybe you need to go to God and say, God, I see you. And today you've come to me in that special way that I was told about. I don't know what it is. Maybe you need to come and you need to just pray for a few minutes about your burden. Hey, maybe there's somebody here today, you're backslidden and away from God. You need to come back to God and rededicate your life. I don't know. If you're here and you have been saved, but you've never made it public, you come. Maybe you've been saved and you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you come. The altar will be open for you. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this moment. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. Altar workers, move quickly to get to your spot. If you have a burden, you come and you kneel at this altar. If you're not saved, you come and you walk up to the man. And you say, I need to be born again. An altar worker right here at this aisle. I don't know where he's at, but I need him right away. If you're not saved, you come. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you come. But I believe there are people out there, you face a burden, you don't understand it. Maybe today you need to come and say, well, whatever it is, I'm giving God the glory. I don't have to understand it. I'm just going to let God be God. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad because I now will come to you in a special way. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. Why? Because you're going to get to see the heart of God like no others. No other place did we see Jesus weep like he wept for Lazarus. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad because now the power of God will be evidenced in my life and in my mind. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad because they will see the glory of God. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Why? Somebody gets born again. Somebody gets saved as a result of a burden. Take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you have a burden, you need the altar for a moment. You come. Hey, have you found yourself getting mad at God over a burden? Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Sometimes we just don't know what God might be doing in our life.
Pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus.
because I know what I'm doing. You've got to trust me on this one. I know what's happening. Hey, and as unique as Lazarus's burden and Mary and Martha's burden was to them, yours is to you. God doesn't always solve everybody's problem exactly like he solved Lazarus, but I promise you, if God was with Lazarus from the start to the finish, God is with you from start to finish, and whatever comes, whatever the burden, and however it turns it out, God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. If you need the altar, you come. The altar's open. You need to rededicate a life. Have you been saved and baptized? You need to want to join fellowship with the church. You may come. Name takers, be careful, be thorough. Soul winners, take your time, do it right. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. Oh, how odd, but yet, how powerful, how unique, how special. Choir, one more time, please. This will be the last time through, but sing it all the way through, if you will.